everyone. Welcome to What I Listen To This Week. This is our fourth episode in the series. You might notice the makeup of our panel tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to it, is a little different. So we're missing Sergio and Molly tonight, but in their place, we have a couple of subs. So we're really excited to welcome Anthony and Jay, and they're going to play some songs for us this week. We're going to get to them in a second to introduce them a little bit. And as we do every week, we have a music-themed icebreaker question where we go around the table and we all answer our question just so you, the listeners, can get to know us a little bit and maybe learn a little bit more about who we are, and maybe that somehow plays into our music choice. I don't know. So this week's icebreaker that we chose is, if you were to name your debut album, so we're all rock stars here and we're coming out with our first album, what would you call it and why? And the caveat to that icebreaker is that we are not allowed to choose our names as the album title name. As you know, a lot of artists often choose to name their debut album after their band name or themselves. We don't want to do that today. We feel like that's too easy of a choice. No offense to anybody who has done that as a musician, but for purposes of today, it felt too easy.
You're being lazy.
Yeah. Hot take from Anthony. Okay. All right. So I'll go first. So my album name for my debut album, I think, would be called Restless. It sounds like an album name. It feels like an album name for somebody who's like new on the scene, right? But I also feel like it speaks to my personality a lot. I feel like I'm a very fidgety person in that, like, I like to do a lot of different things. I like to change up what I'm doing. I have a lot of different hobbies. I get bored very quickly with things, and I feel like I like to move on. Whether that's good or bad, I think being restless can be a good thing, can also be a bad thing, which I think is a nice sort of point of view for a debut album. So that's what I would call my debut album.
Okay.
Anthony.
Yeah, thank you. My debut album would be called Unbelievably Believable, because that would be the best way to describe if I ever actually got an album together and done. It would be Unbelievably Believable.
I love it. That's great. Cool. Eric.
So this week I was looking at a book of surrealist paintings, and my favorite sort of surrealist painting is called The Listening Room by Rene Magritte. And it's just a huge green apple in a small room. And Jeff Beck actually used it in his album, Beckola, which was sort of like one of the two proto-metal things that he did in the late 60s, and they're albums I love, Beckola and Truth. But in any case, I think mine would be called The Listening Room without the apple, and it would just be a picture of me on the cover sitting in a room on a chair and just like a shaft of sunlight coming down. Yeah, it looked really artificial, but it would be cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
That's great. I love that you thought of the imagery of the of cover. The album as well. I didn't get that far, but I like that. Cool. All right, Jay.
My album would be called Panda Bullet. And it's just because I've never understood what Spandau Ballet means, but this sounds somewhat similar to it. And that's it.
Okay, I love it.
That totally works.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, that makes sense. Makes sense for you. I should give a disclaimer on the podcast wife. That Jay is my husband.
Yeah.
I feel like that needs to that needs to be
this
said.
This might need to be clear.
So that in case there's like, it feels like there's some weird inside baseball going on, then you'll know why.
Good.
Okay. Glad we cleared that up. Okay. All right. So let's dive into the music. I'm going to go first today with my song. I won't give too much background until after we've listened to it, but it's called Gold Guns Girls by Metric. I was listening to it this week. I was actually listening to it last night while I was doing the dishes. I was feeling a little angsty, I'm not going to lie. And I feel like when I'm having one of those weeks where I'm just like feeling angsty or frustrated or, you know, just feel like I need to get a lot of energy out because I've, you know, been feeling like I'm pent up or stuck in something at work or personally or whatever it might be, I like to listen to this song because I feel like it kind of gets me out of that box a little bit. And it's just, it just feels like good energy. So, yeah, so let's listen. Okay. So before I get your reactions, I'll just give a quick background. So Metric is a band that's been around for a while. They've been around since the 90s. I want to say like 1997, 98. I loved them a ton in college. They were one of my favorite bands, and I just finally got to go see them live a couple of weeks ago in Denver at the Fillmore. It was an amazing show. was one of those like bucket list concerts that you've been waiting for so long to finally see. And it was incredible. I mean, the energy that the band has is just outrageous. Jay was there. He can speak to it as well. but of course, they played this song. This is one of their pretty popular songs. I think it's been in some movies, so you might have heard it before. But basically, one of the band members had kind of like sketched out the song a little bit and then sent it to Emily Haynes, who's the lead singer. And she just sort of loved the theme of like, it's just excess and greed. And all she could picture in the lyrics was the movie Scarface and the scene with the tiger and like this whole thing. And she always sort of thought that, you know, if they had like millions and millions of dollars of budget, to make a music video for this song, you know, that they would sort of recreate those ridiculous, absurd scenes from Scarface. So it's sort of, that's what it's sort of talking a lot about, is sort of that greed and excess. But yeah, so that's kind of the background on the song. And what'd you think?
No. Oh, okay.
New guy goes first.
Got it. I liked it. They remind me of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I always like the kind of these kind of like fast paced songs, especially. I could totally see doing dishes to this.
Yeah. I hate dishes. Jake can talk about that.
It gets
me
through it. Yeah.
I hate it, but it gets me through it. Yeah. Nice.
So where I always have a hard time placing a group or a song in a genre. So where would you say that? Metric falls.
Yeah, that's hard. I feel like they definitely have moments where they step into the punk realm. There are moments, not in this song necessarily, but they have some tracks where they kind of dip their toes there. Obviously, this is very like electronic pop, kind of almost dancey kind of music, and a lot of their brand new album that they were promoting on this tour definitely feels more in that arena as well. They also have like some acoustic stuff too that is kind of poppy, and so they sort of straddle a few different like kind of like alt genres, whether it's, you know, punk or pop or electronic or dance or whatever. I feel like they kind of blend across a few, a few genres.
Right on. And would you say that's one of their radio hits or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like it made it to,
it was in a movie.
It was in a couple movies. Yeah. I think it made it to like 45 on like the Billboard alt chart.
Got it.
So it wasn't like quite in the, you know, the zeitgeist, but it was almost there, kind of a thing.
It's definitely one of Mel's radio hits. Like, when I think of Mel,
like a playlist for Mel.
When I met her, she worked at a radio station. She played this song quite often, and that's how I know it.
Nice.
Yeah, I did play Metric quite a bit. Yeah, back in the day.
Right on.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say too is that Emily Haynes, who's the lead singer, she was part of Broken Social Scene, which like a whole bunch of like musical groups kind of spilled out of in the 90s and early 2000s. So she's sort of part of this like collective of musicians that came out.
During a smaller zeitgeist.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm done.
All right. Sorry. Anything else?
I liked it. I hadn't heard it before. I don't know this group at all. It seemed very bouncy. And I could see where they could use it. They could fit it into a movie. So it was cool. I would listen to it in my car.
Nice.
My opinion has been bothered, disturbed, messed up by their laser wall. And all I see is the amazing laser wall at that show.
That you guys went to.
Yeah.
They had a laser
when we
wall.
Went a few months ago. I forget when it was. It wasn't lasers per se. It was some kind of lighting.
Yeah, light show.
In strips.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like a guitar fret.
Yeah, guitar frets. Very, very laid out and defined, but amazing. And that was all we talked about for several days afterwards, I feel like, was how can we get this into our own house? But yeah, great music, incredible band, just kind of blown away by the energy coming from a band that had their stuff together long before I did.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Anything else on that one? Cool. Just a reminder, if you, the listener, have feedback on any of the songs that we play, don't forget, you can leave a comment in the comments on YouTube and let us know if you liked it, if you hated it, why you liked it, why you hated it. And then if you have something that you want us to listen to and check out for a future episode, make sure you also leave that in the comments as well. All right. Up next is Eric. Do you want to preface this at all? Or?
Yeah. This is a song that was written by Pat Metheny, originally on the Pat Metheny Group album, written as a tribute to his friend Jaco Pastorius, who had died, I think, a couple of years earlier. And I'll tell you more after the song.
Cool. Thank you. Cool.
So, Pat Metheny, who was sort of a groundbreaking guitarist, has been around for a long time, and Jaco Pastorius, who was a sort of generational talent at electric bass and composer and producer, and had played for groups like, and I know you guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
I do.
It had played for Blood, Sweat, and Tears, actually.
Oh, yes. I know them.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But became famous playing in Weather Report.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And he died when he was 36. He was bipolar and got into a fight, and he was a bass player. He wasn't a fighter. But anyway, Pat Metheny wrote this song for him, and this group, who I love, Turtle Island, and it's just two violins, a viola, and a cello, decided to do that one, and it's one of my favorite versions of that song. There aren't very many. It's like one of those songs where there's a lot of versions of it, but there are a lot of bad versions of it.
Yeah.
And so besides the original, this is my favorite version of this song, and I just think it's cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I think what's cool is that you can definitely hear the Jaco, like, influence, right? Like, you can tell who he was sort of making a tribute to in this song, which is kind of cool. And I think there are moments where I think I would imagine if it was not a string quartet, it would be a bass that would be playing some of those licks, but it was the cello and probably the viola jumped in there a little bit too. But I loved the energy of it. I mean, it's also kind of cool too, to like hear a string quartet do something like this, which is, you know, maybe not something that when you hear string quartet, you think classical music, maybe you don't necessarily think of this. So
their version of Night in Tunisia is incredible.
Okay. I'm going to look that up after this. I love it. But yeah, just the instrumentation of like a jazz song like that is really cool to kind of hear it in that way. So I really loved it. I think that's great.
Jay?
I found it incredibly joyful. Like, we're super excited about something and we're going to tell you through horns is kind of how I felt about that song. And it was just very enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know I don't think I know the original version.
The original version is guitar, bass, keyboards, and drums.
And drums, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So string quartet is cello, viola, and bass?
And two violins.
And two violins,
right.
Okay.
I think that's like the standard.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to figure out which solo I recognized was definitely, I've heard is a different song. I can swear, and I think it was the violin solo, the first one, that chord progression I've heard before from somewhere. I don't know what, but I know it. But I liked it. I thought it was very, it would do great on the Daily Encounter playlist.
Yes. It's good. That's a good opportunity for us to plug LPMX.
Yes.
You can actually listen to this podcast on LPMX Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. In addition to Spotify and YouTube, but LPMX is the radio station for Longmont Public Media, longmontpublicmedia.org/radio. So, anything else about that, Anthony, you want to say? Anthony runs the show over there. Yeah, so.
But not without Melanie's help. So if you have a show you want to do or you want to DJ your own show just for like an hour, please contact us at radio@, and we'll get you set up.
Cool.
Plug done.
Eric, do you have anything else to share about the Turtle Island String Quartet? Like any other tidbits or anything? Because I'm really excited to dive into their catalog after this, but just curious.
They're a group that's been around since the 80s. They're still going. They change members. But the basic concept is that they do a lot of original music, folk music, and jazz standards that they interpret into string quartets. Like I said, their version of Night in Tunisia is pretty incredible. So if you like this one, you'll love that one.
Hmm. Yeah.
What the fellow you named who passed young, what instrument did he play?
The bass player.
He was the bass player. Okay.
Yeah. And he was only with them, I think, a couple of years.
Yeah.
But then when he went to Weather Report, that was kind of an all-star band. And because Wayne Shorter and Joe Zawinul had played with Miles Davis on Bitches Brew, which was sort of a seminal album, and a bunch of bands came out of that.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. And Weather Report was huge for a while until the members couldn't stand each other and they broke up. Kind of like Pink Floyd.
You know? Yeah. 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 Many bands.
Yeah. Or the Beatles.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Happens exactly. To a lot of them.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on that song? Any other things to add? Okay. All right. Anthony, you're up next. Anything you want to set up the song with before we listen?
So I wanted to – I'm really into covers right now, covers of others' stuff. And there was a different cover I wanted to bring, but I couldn't get a copy of it because it was exclusive to SiriusXM's Coffee House. Fuck you, Sirius. even with a subscription, I couldn't rip it. I couldn't download it. Nothing. Anyways, so I had to find something else quickly, and I found this. It's not the kind of music I typically listen to myself very much, but I thought it was a great cover. So let's go.
All right, here we go. This is called "Careless Whisper" by Seether.
I'm
Right.
So the reason I like covers is because they tell you something about the original band, you know, listening to a cover. It tells you something about the band doing the cover, I think. And the most important part to me is it's the best chance to hear what the actual lyrics are. There are many songs like that I've loved in the original form and would always be like, what the fuck are they saying? On that particular part. And then when I hear a cover, I was like, oh, that's what that means. So this is another one of those songs. I can't understand George all the time in the original. So I thought this was a fun cover for sure.
I think, you know, when you're dealing with an original that's so iconic, like the George Michael version, you sort of get an interpretation fixed in your mind. And this certainly was like 180 degrees from, yeah, you know, what I thought. And it was kind of funny. It was enjoyable, but it was kind of amusing to hear it like that because I just never.
It was ironic. It like kind of felt.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounded like, to me, like somewhere in the Foo Fighters, Nirvana vein.
Definitely. Yeah. I didn't think of that. Yeah. Or I was thinking like Everlast or Nickelback. Yes. Kind of sound like them.
Seven Dust.
Yeah. I've never even heard of Seether. I have no idea what they are.
Oh.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. 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 So I didn't know, but yeah, I kind of liked it. It was just entirely different.
Yeah.
Jay, you were rocking out. What's your take on this?
Oh, this is amazing. This is a confluence of my life experience. Like this is
how can wow. you articulate
this is
that?
WZID, the like smooth rock channel that I grew up with, mixed with WAF, the hard rock channel that I mixed.
If we have any New England listeners, you'll know what those
oh,
are.
Oh, yeah, yeah. These are, I'm definitely locating myself here, yeah. But beautiful. Just, it's a certain period in my life that you tapped into where I couldn't get away from my parents' music enough to get into my own music, and they both crossed. Like, I don't think these things entirely existed when I was experiencing that, but I'm immediately I think of that. Oh, what's that song? I'm gonna forget it just in the nick of time, but damn, yeah, there's a song that explains this moment that I can't think of right now.
It's okay. All right. Just seeing the name Seether on the playlist, I was like immediately transported back to high school and listening to WAAF and going to shows and just being angry and wearing a lot of metal studs and buying all my clothing at Hot Topic and just being angry about absolutely nothing.
And everything
yeah. all at the same time. Yeah. But kind of similar to what Jay was talking about, it's just like these two worlds coming together is just like, it brings me so much joy because it's so fun. And it's funny because I almost brought a cover tonight. And then at the last minute, I was like, nah, I'll do something else. And I think it's funny because Eric brought a cover last time too. That was really fun. And I like, Anthony, the way you were kind of describing how, like, it says a lot about like the original artist. It tells you about the artist that's doing the cover. You learn lyrics. And I love I know some people can sometimes be like, bleh, covers. I love them. I think they're so fun. I love seeing a way a band interprets a song, yeah. Especially if it's not like this, where it's not just like a straight up cover. Like, they're right. not just mimicking the
No, they're the recreating original. It in a way.
Right. They're recreating it. And yeah. I think I've always thought that is so cool. And I love when an artist puts their spin on something.
Yeah. Their interpretation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Adams was who I was thinking of. I still don't remember the song, but I've at least thought
it was
of Brian
cover
Adams.
That he did.
No, but someone else has covered the Brian Adams song.
Yep, and that was very much like.
But
that
to expand
era.
On this, I didn't even know covers existed. Basically, as like a kid growing up, like I didn't know people like threw out like, "Hey, you made a great song. I'm gonna do that as well.
Right.
And then I went to a Deftones show, and they covered Broken Wings, which I don't know who does the original.
Mr.
It's so damn good, and it was so good in the moment and so unexpected, and I think that, like, blew up my love for covers right there.
Yeah.
We just watched the other night, most of it, the new Weird Al Yankovic movie.
Yeah.
And he's the one who really got covers on the map.
For sure. Absolutely.
And I think after that, it just became free for all. But
the Rye of, or the Kaiser.
Like, which one?
The Rye or the Kaiser.
Blew up my mind. I didn't know you could write songs about such trivial things. What kind of bread do you want?
Oh my God. He is a genius in his own way.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, like, with something like this, like, while Seether very much is, like, what I would have listened to in high school and maybe not so much what I would listen to now, kind of what Anthony was saying, like, just appreciating it for what it is and, like, their interpretation of it, like, I would still listen to this because I'm like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not my favorite band or if it's not really a genre that I listen to now, I would definitely, like, listen to this just because it's like, yeah, this is great. Well, great interpretation.
It makes me appreciate the original more too, as well. It deepens your sense of it, of the original song. And, you know, it might go both ways. It may, make you feel different about the cover band, depending on your whatever. But, I thought it was a fun cover and I'll probably be doing more covers.
one of these weeks, we're all just going to bring covers probably. That's probably what's going
to
happen.
There's a website, and I'll have to look it up, but I discovered yesterday, and I bookmarked it, because you can put in an original, and it'll give you all the cover versions.
Nice. Oh, that's really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, let us send that along.
Yeah. You can find out who's covered Seether.
And then bring that next time. There you go.
A double cover.
Yeah. I love it. All right, anything else on that? Anything else to say?
I just loved it. Straight to my childhood in so many different ways.
In multiple facets. Love it. Okay. All right. Last song of the day is Jay's. Is there anything you want to say before we hit play? Anything you want to set it up with?
No, it sets itself up well, I think.
Okay. So this is called Mr. Mastodon Farm by the band Cake.
Birds fall from the window ledge above mine. Then they flap their wings at the last second. You see, birds fall from the window ledge above mine. Then they flap their wings at the last second. I can see their dead weight, just dropping like stones or small loaves of bread past my window all the time. But unless I get up, walk across the room and peer down, in my mind that makes their falling and their flight symbolic of my entire existence. It becomes important for me to get up and see their last second curves for flight. It's almost as if my life would fall unless I see their ascent. Mr. Mastodon Farm, Mr. Mastodon Farm, cut swatches out of all material. Mr. Mastodon Farm, Mr. Mastodon Farm, cut second. I said birds fall from the window ledge above mine, then they flap their wings at the last second. But unless I get up, walk across the room,
All right, Jay. Why did you pick that? What's that all about?
This song is about perspective to me. And you're sitting in your room, you see all these birds just falling to the ground. But unless you get up, look up and see, all these birds are like living the time of their lives. To them, it looks like they're just jumping off a cliff and you have no idea what they're up to. But you take the time to get to know them, and you look out and you look down on them, and you see at the very last second they're pulling out of it and they're having the time of their lives.
Do you know what Mr. Mastodon Farm is referring to?
I have no idea. Okay.
All right. Anthony, what do you think?
I've always liked Cake. I thought that they've had such a great, unique sound. I do have to say, though, that I don't think they're a very dynamic sound. I think their songs kind of all have the same feel to them. And this one I didn't like as much because it was just kind of him babbling.
Yep. Super repetitive.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, just do a blog or something. I mean,
did blogs exist when this one came out?
I don't know.
I think it was one of their later.
Oh, it's one of their later ones. Okay.
But
still,
you
pretty
know,
early.
Just right.
Is it? Blog. Okay. Yeah. I respect your choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I sort of have similar feelings. I love Cake because I love the interesting instrumentation that they have. This is the second time I use that word tonight. It's my word of the night. I like the instrumentation that they use, like the, I don't know what it's called, I should know what it's called, but the
scratchy
noise thing.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do you
block?
Yeah.
From third grade music class.
Yeah.
What is it?
The like the ribbed. They use it at the beginning and the end of the song.
Yeah.
Oh, kind of like a what are those? The iron rib boards that they use to wash clothes on.
Yeah, like a washboard, but it's like a wooden. It's usually like cylindrical. But anyway, I mean, you hear that at the beginning and the end of the song, and how many times do you hear that in a song?
Yeah.
On the radio or on whatever you're listening to. So I like that because it's interesting in that sense. I do agree. This one was like a little bit more. A lot of times when he is like singing, singing. I'm picturing Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Way
that he's... No, I get that too. It's amazing.
That's all I can
think
of.
That's actually what I love about
him. He's just sort of putting weird pauses in places. Like that's Cake, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like that to an extent. But yeah, this one was a little more talky than usual. But that being said, like I liked the lyrics and I thought it was cool. So it almost like I didn't mind it so much, right? Because I was enjoying sort of what he was talking about. Yeah, that's my take. Eric?
I really love the recording because the stereo separation was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, like the guy's standing in front of you and, you know, this is going on here and this is going on here.
Can you explain that for us dummies? What do you mean by that stereo separation?
You can hear one set of instruments in your left ear and one set of instruments in your right ear.
Okay.
And the projection was that it sounded like the singer was right in front of you. Okay. And these other things are going on in each ear. So I love that. I like Cake. My word for the evening is going to be surrealism because they have sort of an ironic surrealism to their lyrics.
Yes. They're very... Daddest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daddest.
Yeah. Nice. That's good.
Yeah, they are. And I like the part about the birds, but when we get to Mr. Mastodon Farm, I'm like,
what the hell is that? Yeah. It's kind of, I feel homework. The same way about Modest Mouse. I don't know what you're talking about. Your lyrics are great. Shins, too. It's cool. Oh, but many bands.
Yes.
I don't know what this
yes is like that.
It's better than the bands where you don't understand any of the lyrics, or you like understand like a little snippet of the lyrics, but that's all. Mm. I was listening to Cocteau Twins, and I swear they were a French band, and they're from Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, you know, snippet here, snippet there, but I liked the song. It was really kind of funny.
This one, I feel like, particularly struck me just because I hit it on random a week or two ago and knew every word still and was just blown away by that. Like, I haven't heard this song in, I don't know, 5 years or so, but knew every word of that silly, due to a construct in my mind.
The one nice thing that is really good about Cake is that because of their format, that is, as you described, they could do quick little tributes, you know, to other sounds and everything. So I swore I heard like a Dave Matthews little duty in there.
Sure.
Duty's not the right word.
Duty might not be too inaccurate.
Diddy? Maybe Diddy is what we meant?
Diddy
is what I love it.
Duty's always good.
That's fine, though. That's fine. Yeah, I mean it's similar to like similar to jazz music. I mean you have a little solo. You're gonna if you're good enough, you can pay a little tribute to somebody. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Cake does that a lot for sure. Yeah. All right. Anything else on the Cake song? All right. Well, that is our panel and our songs for tonight. Thank you again to Anthony and Jay for filling in for Sergio and Molly. Maybe we'll see you / hear you guys again soon. So yeah, if you just a reminder, like and subscribe, as they say, if you're watching this on YouTube, or if you want to check out the podcast, you can find it on Spotify, What I Listened to This Week. And if you want to check out, if you want to listen to it on LPMX, the radio, it's like I said, it's Tuesday and Thursday evenings, longmontpublicmedia.org/radio. And if you have something that you want us to check out and listen to, Or if you have feedback on any of the songs that we've chosen, make sure that you leave a comment in YouTube. Do we know the email for LPMX? Sergio always plugs that.
Radio at
longmontpublicmedia.org. So you can always send us song ideas or just feedback in general. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Good night.